Okay, we are returning to In Mesilas Yesharim, the Midah of Zihirut. Vigilance, what pages are we on in your editions? In the paragraph of
72?
Which paragraph are we on?
We are on a paragraph of Halema Zedome, I believe. Starts with Halema Zedome. Are we not up to that paragraph?
I don't think so.
Is it possible
we're a little bit? I think. Are we up to the Gumash?
Or up to Avata Utashnia?
No, the one paragraph.
No, we didn't even. We're only up to the Gumash Amru?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well.
That's where my little marker is, but.
No, that makes sense. Okay, fine. Good. No. Oh, the last meeting was Bo Cheshbon. Fine. Okay. No, that makes sense. I'm farther ahead than you, but that's good, because that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Excellent. So we talked about last time. We began to discuss the hearts of Zihirut, of vigilance, and we talked about the importance of scrutinizing, carefully contemplating our deeds, both on the broader scale of thinking about, in general, is what I do good or bad? And then also critically analyzing the deeds that we take that we consider good, what are the nature of the conflicting motivations within those deeds as well? Yes, it's our buzzword. What? Oh, I know, David, come on.
She oddly should have comments on it. I think she just found it funny that the term was used, the Shabbat tone in here.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's...
It's coincidence.
It was a job tone for the Simon Meter Shop. Anyway, the last thing the Ramchal quoted was a Gemara, which quoted a pasuk. Al kein yamra moshlim bo cheshbon, and Chazal said on this pasuk that, and this is the Chazal's kind of drash interpretation of the pasuk. Therefore, those who are moshel, those who rule their yetzer, bo cheshbon. They can say, come and make a reckoning on cheshbono shel olam, the things that are important in the world, how much one loses out by doing a mitzvah, and how much one gains by doing an avera, is it really worth it? And only one, we talked about, only one who's not under the control, the shilton, of their yetzer at any particular point in time, only those are the people who can actually make a clear reckoning of what's happening. Right? That if one is already within the throes of the Yetzer Hara, that if one, we talked about, like in a case like, it's much harder to make the right food choice when you're already sitting down in the midst of the meal. Choosing what you want to eat before you see and smell the food is much easier than choosing what you want to eat when the really awesome, you know, smell of the fresh cake that's sitting in front of you is wafting up and everybody else is eating it. That's a much harder point to make a decision of what you think is the right thing to do in that particular instance, right? Once you're already under the moshel of the Yetzer Hara, it's impossible to make a clear decision. So going forward, V'huma she'amar zichronam livracha. This is what Chazal said. Tashet choshech vayihi laila. You make darkness and it is night. Zeha olam hazeh zedomeh lelaila. This is talking about olam hazeh, which is like the night. And he's going to give us a double comparison. That this world, olam hazeh, is like night, is like darkness on two levels.
It's really depressing.
What?
It's depressing.
What?
Comparing this world to darkness.
Almost all of the sources that I'm familiar with do, in fact, compare this world to darkness. The goal is to train oneself to be able to see the light within the darkness. To the greatest extent that we embrace the darkness of this world, we can allow our eyes to adjust and see with clarity even within the darkness. I remember one time we were on one of these teal type things. I think it was in a camp setting. And he wanted to prove a point to us, and we were going out on a hike at night, and we all immediately wanted to take out flashlights. He said, fine, so let me show you what happens. And he took out a flashlight, started turning it on and off and on and off and on and off. And he said, what do you see? So he said, nothing. He said, so wait 5 minutes. And we waited 5 minutes, and eventually he said, like, he pointed out, like, for, especially as New Yorkers who had never seen things like stars and the moon, that, like, if you waited till the sunlight, and so the moonlight and the stars were able to shine, and your eyes adjusted, you could actually see incredible detail that you would not have seen had you put the flashlight on, because the flashlight would have focused your attention so particularly within the context of that light that you would have missed all of the details that the moon and the stars would have been able to open up for you. What that means in this context is while we do walk in a world of darkness, the rays of light that shine for us, the clarity is the light of the sun. The light of the sun, if you really want to take the mashal all the way to its end point, is the light... He's like, yes, we do. Is the light of the sun would be the light of God, and it's reflected through his Torah, which makes it the moonlight. So the moonlight, the way that God reflects his Torah in this world through the moonlight, that's what lights up our way. So we can either be upset and say it's horrible that we live in a world of darkness, or if we allow ourselves to give ourselves the time to adjust and not fight that, but rather attempt to see through it, then the moonlight and the starlight can actually guide our way. The light of the Torah can guide our way. The light of truth can be seen from within that darkness if we know what we're looking for. And that's what he's going to lay out next. Thank you, Ricky.
Anytime.
That was basically what he said.
Yeah, basically.
Anyway, so there are two layers through which we need to carefully, we could make mistakes within that darkness, which if we know that in advance, the goal is to not make the mistakes, that those the nature of those mistakes in the darkness. And see how wondrous this concept is. He's excited about it, Ricky. How wondrous this concept is that we live in night and that we live in darkness for one who carefully examines it and understands the nature of the darkness that we're in, because if we can understand it, then we can overcome it. To quote Dr. Pelkovitz, to name the monster is to conquer it. That once you define something, it's much easier to overcome it. To name the monster is to conquer it. It's a phrase that he uses very often. So once we can identify the issues that are coming in front of us by living in a world of darkness, that's what allows us to be able to overcome them. When a person goes through the darkness of the night, there are two mistakes that can happen in terms of what he sees. The most obvious thing is that if you're walking around in the darkness, what are you not going to see? Anything, right, yeah. You're not going to see anything at all. The biggest fear of darkness, the biggest challenge that darkness presents is the inability to see at all. That's the simple understanding. That's the simple thing that a person has to overcome in walking through a world of darkness. The second one is, or that it can make a person mistake and they can imagine that a person is a pillar and a pillar is a person, meaning you can start seeing through the darkness, but you don't actually understand what it is that you're seeing. Because it's dark, you mistake one thing for another. Those are the two dangers of the darkness, not seeing what's in front of you at all, and confusing things and thinking that one thing is actually something else. So too is the physicality of this world. It's the darkness of night for one's intellectual and spiritual reality. This world is trying to mask us, is trying to withhold us, to blind us on a spiritual and intellectual level from seeing truth. The gorem lo shei ta'uyot, and causes us to make these two mistakes. Eino maniach lo shiyireh ha-michsholot shebedarchei ha'olam. It doesn't allow a person to see those things that are trying to trip him or her up in the ways of the world. And it turns out that the fools are able to walk forth securely, and they end up falling and being lost without even being afraid in the first place. Meaning, they walk so confidently through the darkness, being totally blind to what's in front of them, that they confidently walk right over the stumbling blocks. They don't even realize what's in front of them. That's the total blindness of the darkness. Those of you who aren't even trying, those people aren't even trying to see through the darkness of the night. That's one way in which the physicality of this world is able to trip us up. This is what it says in Mishlei. The Rishaim, the evil people, their way is like deep darkness. They don't even know what's causing them to make a mistake. Meaning they're not even aware of what it is that's tripping them up. The Amar, Arum ra'a ra'a v'nistar, u'pitza'im avru v'ne'enashu. That a crafty person sees evil and immediately hides from it, but fools go forth and are punished. Fools make the mistakes and are punished, meaning they don't even see the negative thing that's in front of them and just go forward confidently again and make that mistake. V'omer, chacham yare v'sar mira, an intelligent person fears and strays and stays away from evil. Uchsil mit'aber u'boteach. But an idiot goes forth securely. Same, all these psukim are all bringing out the same point. Ki libam bari lahem ki'ulam. Their hearts are confident and they walk out with confidence and they immediately fall without even knowing what's causing them to make the mistake. That's again the more obvious thing, which is that one needs to understand and know what's safe and what's unsafe, what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad. That's the most simple level of knowledge in this world and a way in which one needs to overcome physicality. It's on a level of, even on a level of what's usser and what's mutter. If you don't know what's treif and what's kosher, then there's no way to even know that you're messing up or not. There's no way for you to have that. If you don't know what a kosher symbol is, you can make up whatever you want, but you have no idea whether or not you're eating kosher or not. On a simple level. On the simplest of levels. Clear? Good?
Okay.
It's very chill today. Okay. The second level is obviously much more layered. Vatzut Hashnia, the second mistake, Vukashem in Harishon, much more difficult than the first. Hushemat e'ri'iyatam ad shiro'im mamash hara ki'ilu huto v'atov ki'ilu hura. Where a person makes the mistake of looking mamash at evil and thinking it's good, and good and thinking that it's evil. U'mitoch kach, and because of this, mitchazkim u'machazikim mimaasehem ara'im. Because of this, they go and they strengthen their actions that are negative. Meaning, if I think that what I'm doing is good, even if it's evil, if what I think that I'm doing is good, so I propel myself and I strengthen myself to do it even more. I make an attempt to go about that action more frequently and more actively, because I think it's good, even though I've mistaken good for evil and evil for good. Kiendai shechasera mehem riyata emet lirot hara'a asher neged pneihem. Not only is it not enough for them to not know the truth and to see the evil that's in front of them, ela shenir elahem limso re'ayot gedolot v'nisyonot mochichim lesvaroteihem ara'ot uledeoteihem akozvot, but rather they even go forth to find proofs and evidence to corroborate their understanding of things, their negative understanding of things, and their false knowledge. Meaning, if I think that what I'm doing is right, I'm going to go and seek, because I already have my agenda, because I already have my subjective perspective of the world, I'm going to then go and seek in the world evidence to support my opinion and my stance. So if I've mistakenly chosen something evil and assume that it's the right thing to do, since it's what I do, I think it's good, so I'm going to look around in the world for proof that what I'm doing is the right thing. And then suddenly, not only am I doing the wrong thing, but I've got proofs as to why my wrong thing is the right thing to do and why I should keep going forward in a confident way. That's the most dangerous type of mistake. There's no coming back from that without really doing serious cheshbon nefesh, because I assume that I'm doing the right thing. I assume that it's correct. It's really quiet today. Are you okay?
It's the weather.
It's the weather.
It's
the weather. The chomriyut of this world. The gashmiut of this world. Geshami lashon. Gashmiut. Gashmiut of this world.
So
deep. What?
It's so deep.
It's true, it's a thing. All of the physical world comes from the rain that nourishes the world and produces the whole world, and so therefore gashmiut and geshem are from the same root.
Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah. Stuff to know. Okay. So, vizoti hara'ah gdola hamilap tam. I even practiced saying the word and I didn't get it right. Hamilap pap tam. I tried. Yeah.
So nice.
I know it's odd to think that I prepared. Yes.
You didn't have to prepare. Okay.
I do, of course I prepare.
It's just us.
It's the recorders, the recording. Hamilapaftam. What is that? What is that word that is that related to? Also, lafa, it means to envelop, which I was like, oh, lafa, of course.
It envelops their food.
Right, so that's another wordplay there. We're just doing linguistics today. We're not learning anything. We're just doing linguistics today. Vizoti hara'agdala hamilapaftam umiviatam el be'er shachat. This is the greatest evil that can envelop a person and bring them to the lowest of places. Ruma she'amar katu, this is what the pasuk says, means when it says, Hashmein lev ha'am hazeh, that the hearts of this nation have become fat, ve'oznav hachbeid, and their ears have become heavy, ve'enav hasha, and their eyes have become smeared over, ki yir'eh ve'enav ve'oznav yishma'u ve'levavo yavin ve'shavra pelo. And lest they were to truly see and hear, and their hearts would understand, then they would come back into tshuva and they would be healed. Meaning, when we cover over all of our senses and we don't allow ourselves to truly perceive the truth of this world, and the physicality of this world blinds us and deafens us to being able to see the truth of God in this world, then we're just stumbling forth. And we go forth confidently. But the point is that if we're able to peel away those layers, peel away that physicality, then we can see, do tshuva, and come back and become close to God. And all of this is because they're under the darkness and they're overcome from the rulership of their Yitzhar. The Yitzhar has won and convinced them that what they're doing is good. But those who have already released themselves from this prison, this is coming back to our original from last time, that pasuk of Azirah Moshlim B'Yitzram. Those who have taken themselves out from the rulership of their Yitzer, Hein Ruim HaEmet, they see clearly the truth. Ve'hein Yecholim Li'aitz B'nei Ha'adam Alav, and they're the ones who can give advice. Meaning the goal in when we're looking for who to seek advice from in this world are not the people who just have good advice, but to seek out people who are those who are Moshlim B'Yitzram, who have removed themselves out from under the rulership of their Yitzhar Hara, and therefore, Bo unechashev cheshbono shel olam, they can make the true accounting of the way to engage the world, and they're the ones who we should look to be guides in this world of darkness. The person who, for me, was able to say, it's really nice that you brought a flashlight along, and I'm glad that you saw that on a movie, but if you turn your flashlight off for at least 10-15 minutes, you're much, much better off with the moon and the stars. That's somebody who's in the nimshal, not under their yetzer, and can clearly tell you what to do, even though the more obvious quote-unquote choice would be to turn on the flashlight. Some of the obvious choice is not the right choice, and the claim here is since the physicality of the world is always trying to blind us from seeing the truth, very often that which is intuitively correct, that which seems to us to be intuitively correct, is very often, almost always, if not always, but very often, not the right choice. The intuitive choice is usually not the right choice. But being able to scrutinize that has to come from somebody who's not under the shilton of the Yitzhar to begin with. Wow. Okay. Like, we should just fly then. Let's just cover pages, because why not? So let's give a mashal. I was like, hopefully we'll get to the end of the chapter. Now I'm like afraid that I didn't prepare far enough. What is this similar to? So the Ramchal gives a mashal. Lagana mivucha, a labyrinth or a maze. Like you see in those movies, those the glorious gardens that kings make, where they create the hedges in a way where it creates a maze out of the bushes, and people have to walk through and try to get to the center, but you never know really where you're going. So that's the mashal that he's going to use here. That's this. That's the labyrinth that he's talking about here, the Gan HaMidvucha. This is what people who have lots of money, what princes or kings do for fun. They make these types of gardens. Shanitiot asuyot katalim katalim uveinehem shvilim rabim nivochim umeoravim. That they make these hedges that are walls, and between them are paths, many, many different paths, that are confusing and interweaving. Kulam domim zelazet, but they all look identical. You never know where you are in the maze. And the goal is to get to, like, this central place in the middle. This central place is evidently called...
Columnade.
Yes. What did I say it again?
Columnade.
So I thought that was just like their weird word, and in my ego I assumed that, you know, they used a funny word because I didn't recognize it. So I looked it up in the Green Dictionary. You know what it said in the Green Dictionary?
Columnade.
So I looked it up. It's this thingy. You probably can all learn new things. It's this thingy.
Cool.
Which is made up of many columns. So evidently at the center of these mazes, there was this perch that was made by creating some sort of flat surface on top of a row of columns that would overlook everything else. But that was the center that you were trying to get to, where when you got to the center, you could actually then go up and overlook the entirety of the maze. This is a colonnade, which everybody else but me knew. I was the one who didn't know. So now I just got up to your level of knowledge of English literature. Yeah, I don't know. I assumed that it was a weird word, but
I was gonna be like, so like, what was the point of that? But then when you said that, like, you can go up and see the maze, I was like, ah, that's a good,
exactly.
That's a good prize.
Right. So that's also gonna be who's gonna be on the top of that perch?
Us.
Well, eventually, hopefully. Who's on top of that perch?
Our leader.
The king.
The person who's giving you advice.
Yes, I mean, that's in our Mashal or Nimshal, like, that Moshel on the Yitzhar is going to be the person who's in the center and perched up and able to describe the way to go. But yeah, but God, I'm sure God's also up there, too. Yeah, also God.
God is really everywhere.
Okay. So we're going to keep referring to it as the colonnade. Colonnade, am I pronouncing it right?
Colonnade.
What?
Colonnade.
Colonnade? The colonnade. Okay. Such an important chapter, and I feel like we're totally ruining it. Il nam. Hashvilima ele mehemi sharim magi'im be'emet el ha'achsadra. And in truth, these different paths are all going to the colonnade. Umehem mashgim et ha'adam u'marchim oto mimenu. There are some which are going directly to it, and there are some which are pulling a person farther and farther away from him. V'omnam ha'olich bein ha'shvilim hu lo yachol lirot v'ladat klal im hu b'shvil ha'amiti o b'kozev. There's no way for a person who's actually in the maze while they're in the maze to know whether they're on a path that's going toward the colonnade or that's a path that's leading away from it. There's no way for them to know. Ki kulam shavim. They're all designed to be exactly equal. They all look exactly alike. V'in hefresh b'nehem la'ayin ha'ro'el tam. There's no difference to the eye that's looking at them. There's no clearly discernible difference. Im lo sheyeda ha'derech b'viki'ut u'vitvi'ut ha'ayin shekvar nichnas bam v'yigia la'tachlit ahi ha'achsadra. The only way to know is if a person is completely familiar with the maze, knows it inside out, knows the nature of the maze from personal experience, and has already reached that center point on their own. A person who has gone through the maze, studied the maze, understood the maze, and overcome the maze. That's a person who can actually understand and tell the subtle differences in the nature of the maze itself. Vine, ha'omed al ha'achsadra, hu ro'eh kol ha'drachim lefanav. The person who stands on top of the colonnade, he's the one who sees all of the ways. U'mavchin bein ha'amitim va'kozvim. He can tell with certainty which ones are the true straight ways, and which ones are the ways that are looking to mess you up, because he's actually overlooking the entirety of the maze. V'yachol l'hashir et ha'olchim bam. And he can be the person to warn those who are walking in the maze. Lomar, he could say, zeh ha'derech l'chubo, this is the way to go. Vine, Misha Yirtzela Haaminlo, Hineyagia Lamakom Hamiyuad. One who chooses to believe the person who's up there perched on top and looking over the whole maze, one who chooses to believe him, so he can get to the destined result. He can get to the center. Umishelo Yirtzela Haamin, one who chooses not to believe that person, the Yirtzela Lecha Tacharinab, but says, no, I've got it covered. I know which way to go. I can see. I've got two eyes of my own, and I can tell which way to go. That person, Badaishi She'er Oved V'Leya Gielav, he'll be lost forever and never be able to get to the center. He has no way of knowing. He has no real tools to discern the way to get to that center point. Kena Davar Hazeh. Right, if the Nimshal wasn't clear, he'll spell it out for us. Kena Nimshal Hazeh. Hadavar Hazeh. Misha Adain Lo Mashal B'Yitzro. A person who's not yet overcome their Yitzir. Hu Bitoch Hashvilim. That's a person who's within the confines of the maze. Lost and wandering within the confines of the maze. Lo yuchal lehavchin b'nehem. He can't distinguish between anything in this world. What's the right way and what's the wrong way? What's good and what's bad? What's good and what's evil? What's right and what's wrong? there are no tools that that person has with which to legitimately discern right from wrong. Achamoshlim b'yitzram, but those who have already overcome their yitzer, kvar higiu el ha'achsadra, those who have already gotten to the colonnade, shekvar yatzu min ha'shvilim, they've already elevated themselves above all of those paths, v'ro'im kol ha'drachim le'enehem de'veyor, and they see all of the paths clearly, heim yicholim li'ya'etz l'mishi yirtzeh lishmoa, they can give advice to those who want to hear, v'alehem tzrichim anu l'hamin, and those are the people we need to have faith in to help guide us. V'nei, mahi aitza shehem notnim, what is the advice that those people give? Bo'u cheshbon, the advice of those who are Moshe b'Yitzram, right? What's the second half of that Gemara? Bo'u cheshbon, go and make an account. Yeah, go and make an accounting, make a cheshbon. Cheshbon nefesh. Bo'u nechashiv cheshbonu shel olam. Bo'u and consider. Come and consider an accounting of those things that are important in this world. Ki kvarhim nisu v'ra'u v'yad'u shirak zehu aderech amiti la'giyah ha'adam el ha'tovah shirhu mevakesh v'lo zulat zeh. They've already tested and seen and know that only this way, only by making that cheshbon, only by doing that hitbonenut, only by doing that contemplation, only by reflecting on our actions, only by coming with that level of clarity, can we be able to know what's right and wrong and good and bad. Tov. Yeah?
I know. Normally I wouldn't interrupt something like this, but I feel like today it's okay.
Yeah.
I saw an article in the New York Times today about how people, they did a study looking at how people are actually petrified of being alone and how they are not able to be contemplative and alone more than, they put people in a room for like 6 to 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And people shocked themselves rather than, you read this also, rather than be alone, because people have such a difficult time with like being alone, because when you're alone you contemplate and you tend to think about like things that are maybe not so great and not so happy, and it's easy to just be distracted otherwise. But it's really interesting.
That's great. Kind of relevant. Can you pass along?
Yes.
Thank you for both the sound effects and that. Awesome. Yeah. And that's what he's gonna talk. He's gonna emphasize here not just the contemplation, but also the solitude.
Yes.
Well, I'm saying he's about to do exactly this thing.
Oh,
so you,
wow.
Yeah, the Ramchal, you and the Ramchal are lockstep at the moment.
Great.
Check it out. Klalo shel davar, which doesn't surprise us. Why? Klalo shel davar. I'm going to just keep walking over the same place. Because the Ramchal holds that the most important thing are the klalim. So he's going to give us the general principle to sum up the chapter. Klalo shel davar, what's the overarching principle here? Tzarich ha'adam, liot mitbonen b'sichlo tamid. A person needs to be constantly contemplative. Constantly contemplative. Those who, and the person who did it today isn't here, who mock me for always thinking. Right? I'm saying, like, the Ramchal says it's important to think. It's important to be contemplative always. That's part of what we're supposed to be doing here, right? We've got, what?
Yeah.
You really think all the time? It's like, we're supposed to be doing here. Okay, just saying. They were like, you have to be contemplative.
Yeah, I know. That's the question. That's the question. You think all the time.
Okay, the conversation happened today. The Cholzman, well, they were saying, like, how do you, like, you're really supposed to do this constantly? Like, isn't that intense? It's a lot. The answer is yes, it is intense, and to the extent that a person can. So he says, Becholzman uvizman kavua lo behit bodeduto, behit bodedo, right? To be contemplative all the time, and especially in those times, Ricky, hakavua lo behit bodedo, those times that he's assuming, the Ramchal is making a presumption that we all, of course, have made in our schedules time that we're alone, and in that alone time to make sure to contemplate our lives. Not to make time to be alone and then in that time contemplate lives, but in that time that you've already set aside, because like that's what people do, is they make time to be alone and actually be by themselves.
Many people did.
No, I'm saying he assumes that people were doing that. That which is amazing.
Meaning that they were.
Yeah, he was already assuming that you were doing that. And he's saying, what should you do in that time? This is what the content of what you should be doing. But like for us, like you just said, it's so foreign from us that you said they'd rather be shocked, like have electrical shocks.
I'm pretty sure that's what they said. Don't come in.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
There was something with electric shock.
Yeah.
And not wanting to be by themselves.
So I'm saying here, he's saying in that time that you've already set aside to be alone, this is what you should be doing, that is contemplating your life. Which is very, I mean, that's really, that's a very powerful statement, that he's already assuming that hitbonenut is there, and he just wants to add on the level of hitbonenut.
Yeah.
of the contemplation. But the impact for us is that both are incredibly important, the alone time and the contemplative time, and happening at the same time. What is the true way that, according to the chok of the Torah, that a person is supposed to go by? First, meaning, and this goes back, if you'll watch, this is totally parallel to the opening of this chapter. First, a person needs to contemplate, what does the Torah expect of me? Then, once a person has contemplated what the Torah expects of me in general, my next step is, then I need to contemplate my personal actions. Are they in this way or not? Because it's definitive to him that through this way, it will be easy for a person to purify themselves from all evil and to make their ways straight. V'cheinu omer, and this is what it says in the pasuk in Mishlei, palis magal raglecha, survey the course of your feet, v'kol drachecha yikonu, and your ways should be steadfast, v'omer, nach besha drachinu v'nach korah v'nashuva ad Hashem. Search your ways and examine them, and then you'll be able to return to God. Meaning the only way to get back is if you search, you examine, you think, you contemplate, you do hitbonenut, you do hitbonedut. Only through these means can you possibly get back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and get back to Hashem. Amar HaChacham, the Chacham quickly wraps up, as will we. What?
No, we haven't heard that from the Chacham in so long.
Yeah, he's still there. He takes a little bit of a back seat after the opening chapter. Amar HaChacham, but he's our voice in this very often. Meaning, what would be the next question? We've asked it so many times that to us it's like, we just assume we're not going to get an answer. But like, the Chacham's going to say like, okay, great, like,
now what?
Right, exactly. It's always going to be basically that now what question, because we're not out of Zihirut yet. I've experienced myself the truth of this of the ma'amar of our sages, which says, "Milta de lo rami ale de inish lo adaite." A person who feels no responsibility over something, it will never be on his mind. Meaning, until we decide to take responsibility over our purpose in this world, it's not going to be something that we think about, that we mull over, that only comes from assuming responsibility for our lives. Kine kol devarecha ela him yishrimu nechonim. Everything you've said is straight and true. Asher lo dai she'ein lo eli lachaluk alehem. To the point that I can't even say that I have nothing to argue with. Elishinir eli shekvar inenam kavua b'libi me'elav. Ashayiti yachol omram ani. Meaning, it's not just that I don't disagree with you. These things are so true to me that I would have said them myself. Meaning, these things are obvious and blatant and clear to me. I'm somebody who knows all of Torah. You've been quoting me, Ma'amarei Chazal, Psukim. This is the only way to go in life. It's not that I have nothing to argue with. It's clear to me that what you're saying is true. Kemo she'amarta otam otam. Exactly the way that you said them. However, vadaihu shelokiyamti hadvrim adhena, but I can say with definitiveness also that I've never kept these things. Lo ha'emarti atzmi ala cheshbon hazeh, I've never established upon myself to contemplate in these ways. Velo chashashti lemishkal, and I paid no attention to scrutinizing my deeds in this way. Velo hikdamti hitbonenut lemaaseh, and I've never truly preceded my action with careful contemplation about the nature of my action. Probably thought about whether it was good or bad, but to talk about what we talked about last time, to really peel away those conflicting motivations and think about what's the nature of what's going on inside of me when I'm taking that action, to think about, is what I'm doing really good even though I think it's good, or is it not? I've never preceded my action with this serious hitbonenut. The lo mechashronidah, you have to understand, it's not because I didn't know this. That's the struggle. That's the pain of the chacham. That's the pain of all of us in this world. None of this that he's saying here is necessarily earth-shattering. It's obvious. It makes sense. And we know it. But the question is, how do I take that forward? What do I do with that knowledge now? How do I make that real for me? How do I make that real in my life? The lo mechashronidah, it's not because I didn't know this. Ela mechashron hihistaklut, because I lacked introspection. That's the key word here for this paragraph. I lack that introspection. Kikevan she'iyuni lo haya al zehatzad, since my investigations in Torah were not in this way, hine hayiti over al hamidvo'ar etzli bilti yad'i shani over alav. I was over on all of these things that were clear to me without even knowing that I was making the mistakes. Ata, therefore now, hashlim advarecha, complete everything that you've said, meaning bring it to its next stage. Ufaresh derech kniat hamidah zot asher yadati. Teach me how to acquire this trait. I now know what this trait is. I know its components. How do I make this trait a part of my life? So we'll start with that on Thursday.